A scripture reading from the book of Romans, chapter 15, verses 7 through 13. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order for the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all the joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We're nearing the end of our series in Romans. Can you believe we started this last July? It's taken us over a year to get through this book, and we've done a deep dive. We've looked at every word so far of the book of Romans. We're in chapter 15. There's one more chapter to go. And my message today is called The Welcome Sign. And we know all across, if you do any travel, cities and towns across America have a sign as you come into the town to welcome you. Some of them, they're very simple. It's just the name of the town, maybe the population. And some of them, they get a little bit more creative. So we're going to look at a couple this morning that I found this week. So this is Gretna, Virginia. It says, the town of Gretna ain't no big thing, but it's growing. Next, we have Gravity, Iowa. It says, we're down to earth. Uh-huh. And it also says, if gravity goes, we all go. This is Blue Diamond, Nevada. Now, this one might need a little explanation. It says, elevation high, population low, boroughs, ? Apparently, in Blue Diamond, they have a group of wild boroughs that just wander through town, and people go there to see how many boroughs they can find. So they don't know how many there are. This is a town of Rennie. Welcome to Rennie, home of something or somebody famous. Someday, maybe. They're hopeful that something might happen there someday. Weed, California. They could have gone a number of ways with this one, but they chose, we'd like to welcome you, right? So it's a historic lumber town and home of College of the Siskiyous. So it tells you a little bit about the town, right? Whitesburg, Kentucky. Apparently the home of Royal Crown Cola, and also they have a population of 1,534 friendly people plus two grouches. At least they're honest. Honesty is good. Gettysburg, where the battle wasn't, because it's Gettysburg, South Dakota. And last but not least, welcome to Gas, Kansas. Don't pass gas, stop and enjoy it. So when you read these signs, right, it tells you a little bit of something about the town, right? Obviously, people in Gas, Kansas have a really good sense of humor. So imagine you're traveling, and you come into a small town where you've never been before, and you see the sign. It says, welcome to Stanton, home of friendly people since 1874. And you go, oh, this must be a friendly town. That's what they want us to know about them, is that they're friendly. It says something about who we are and what we want to be about and what we strive for. And what Paul is saying here in this passage that we just read, he says, we want to be like that sign. We want to be welcoming. We want our church to be a welcome sign. That people see our church, they see the people of our church, and they say, wow. There's something going on there. They're welcoming.
They're loving.
They're accepting. They care about me. And they want to come visit because of the welcome that they've seen. So Paul is talking about a community where the welcome overcomes divisions, where God's promises draw together, in Paul's language, the Jews and the Gentiles, people from different backgrounds, different homes, different ideas, where we can come together in community. So Paul begins by saying, "Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." Welcome one another just as Christ welcomed you. Some of us, we forget where we came from. We forget what God has done in our lives. Each of us has a different story about how we came to know Jesus. Many of us have been in the church since we were babies. There was a picture in our church directory of me getting baptized, right? I've been there since I was this big. Can you believe I was this big once? It's true. Right? So many of us have been in the church our whole lives. Some of us have come to the church later in life. And some of us, whether we've been in the church our whole life or whether we came to the church later in life, we've done all kinds of stuff in that in-between time that maybe we're not proud of. And God accepts us. He welcomes us. And he's saying here, Paul is saying, remember what Jesus has done in your life, that Jesus accepted you without conditions. He didn't say, you know, go and get cleaned up first and then come to me. He didn't say, go study some theology and make sure that you have the theology of atonement and the theology of salvation and get your eschatology right before we talk again. He doesn't say those things. He welcomes us as we are, and then he goes to work on us. And he calls us to do the same. When you meet people, when you encounter people, they don't have to get cleaned up and fixed before we welcome them. We welcome them as they are. And then we don't go to work on them. We let God go to work on them. I know that's a tough one. And he says the goal of this welcome, the goal of this welcome is not for our comfort or for our enjoyment. The goal of welcoming others this way is to glorify God. He says, welcome one another just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. The purpose in everything that we do is to bring glory to God. Think of the story of the prodigal son. We all know the story, right? This father, he has two sons, he's wealthy. The youngest son says, I want my inheritance now. That's pretty wild right there in of itself, right? To say, he's basically saying to his dad, I wish you were dead, can I have my money now? And dad says, okay. Dad gives him half of the estate, and the son takes off. And soon enough, he's blown all the money. It's all gone. He's feeding pigs because that's the only job he can get. And he's so hungry, he's thinking about eating the same slop that he's feeding the pigs. And he finally decides it's time to go home. It's time to eat some humble pie and go back to dad. And he says, if I can just go back and if my dad will just let me be a slave, a servant in his house, that would be enough. Then at least I would have food to eat. And as he's coming home, his father sees him. It says, from a long way off. Now, many of us would do this. All right, what do you got? What's your story? Right? Say, come on, out with it. What's your excuse? But he doesn't do that. He sees his son from far off, and he takes off running. And he embraces his son. And he says, my son who was dead is alive again, and he welcomes his son. He doesn't ask for a story. He doesn't ask where the money went. He doesn't ask what he did while he was gone and what his excuse is coming back. He just embraces his son. And we know when we hear these parables, Jesus often started his parables by saying, the kingdom of God is like. When we hear these stories, he's trying to show us what it means to be a part of God's kingdom. And that's what it is. We're that son. We've gone and we've squandered everything that God gave us. And when we finally come to our senses and come back, he doesn't fold his arms and shake his head. He comes to us with open arms and embraces us. And he says, my child who was dead is alive again. That's the kind of welcome we have received. And that's the kind of welcome Paul is telling us to show to others. And so Paul continues. And he quotes all these scriptures from the Old Testament, right? He says that, I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised, which is the Jews, to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs. Then he starts listing these promises. So often we look at what's going on in the New Testament and we almost treat it like it was an afterthought. Like God had a plan in the Old Testament and it didn't work out so well, so God had to change his plan and do something different. And what Paul is saying here is that's not what happened at all. God knew what he was doing from day one. He called the Israelites knowing that they would be a stubborn people. He called us knowing that we were stubborn people. He quotes from Psalms and Deuteronomy and Isaiah. He's showing that all through the Old Testament, which is the scriptures that they had at that time, he says, all through these scriptures, you can see that God had a plan for the Gentiles. You know what that word means, the word Gentile? It just means nations. The Gentiles wasn't a specific group of people. The word Gentile meant nation. So Gentiles were the nations. So there were the Israelites, and then there were all the other nations. So his plan all along was to bring in the Israelites, and through them, to bring in all the nations. This isn't an afterthought. This is the plan. The gospel breaks down divisions. The gospel tears down walls. It opens up community. And we are to be agents of that welcome. Our worship becomes a living testimony to unity. One voice glorifying God from many cultures, many backgrounds, many stories. We love potlucks, right? We all love a good potluck. And the best thing about potlucks is you get some food that you don't normally get at home, right? Some of us have a unique recipe that we make at home that maybe nobody else has, right? In my family, we've got this recipe. It's called Aunt Wilma's Hot Dish. And the reason it's called Aunt Wilma's Hot Dish because Aunt Wilma passed this recipe around and didn't have a name. And because Aunt Wilma passed it around, it's Aunt Wilma's Hot Dish. And it's a recipe that we make. I love it, and it's fun to bring it, right? We bring that to the potluck, and you go, man, I've never had this before. Because you didn't have an Aunt Wilma. Right? Sometimes we bring a different dish because we have a different ethnic background, and there's something that we like to bring. But we get to taste all these different things. Listen to this description in Revelation chapter 7. So Revelation is this vision that John had where he was caught up in heaven, and he describes for us what he sees. And in Revelation 7 verses 9 and 10, he says, after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and all peoples and all languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Can you picture this? Right? People from all backgrounds, all colors, all races, all ethnicities, all languages, all together gathered before the throne saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne. That's the image of what we're going to see one day. And we don't have to just wait for all that to happen later. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is here. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we're not just punching a ticket to get into heaven someday. We are joining God's family. We're joining the mission here and now to get involved in bringing heaven to earth, right? We pray this every Sunday, right? We say, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We want God's kingdom here and now. And he says, you are a part of that. You are a part of bringing that together and making that happen through our welcome. And he wraps up in the last verse by saying, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. Do you live with joy and peace? I hope you do. Some of us live with a lot of anger and worry. He says, as you trust in him, as we put our trust in God, there comes a joy and a peace that can only come through trusting in him. And we can have hope. We can have hope for ourselves and our families. We can have hope for what's to come. And we can have hope as we go out of this place into our community seeking to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We can have hope that he is going to do amazing things. This is the hope when we go out into our community and we try to do good things. It's not the hope that everything's going to miraculously change and people are going to all of a sudden become so Christ-like. Think of our own journey, right? Go back to that. Think about where we came from and the ways that God has worked in us and changed us over time. And we make a little progress, and then we fall back. And we make a little more progress, and we fall back some more. And then we make a little progress, and we fall way back. And then we start over, right? God continues to work in us, and that's what he wants to continue to do. And he's using us to make that happen. He's using us to accomplish that. That hope that God gives us, it's not just for our personal enjoyment. It's not for our own building up personally, but it gives us the energy and the capability to go out and welcome and love people the way he's called us to. When we don't do that, when we don't want to go out and be welcoming and loving, it's because we don't have hope that God can do anything about it. We think, that person's just too far gone. They're too messed up. Is anybody too messed up for God? No. I wouldn't be standing here in front of you. Right? Like, he takes all of us in all of our mess, and he continually works on us and grows us together. That sin of pride that I was talking about earlier, that's what happens, right? God goes to work on us. And it's an amazing thing that happens when we grow in our relationship with Jesus, when we grow in our understanding of what it means to live a life committed to Jesus. And we become better people, right? We become better versions of ourselves. And the mistake that we make is we start to take credit for that. We start to think that we've become better because of our own effort. Because I learned to follow all the right rules, and I learned to do all the right things, and I've read my Bible every day, and I've gotten better all by myself. Paul spent the first four chapters of Romans reminding us that we're a hot mess, that we're completely lost, that no matter what good work we've done, every one of us has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ has done for us. And the call isn't to say, I'm going to make Jesus the Lord of my life, and now I've got my ticket punched to heaven, and I can put that ticket in my pocket, and I can go sit on the couch. That's not the call. The call is that we make Jesus the Lord of our lives, and we recognize what God has done and continues to do in us, and we want to share that. We want to tell people. It's the old analogy of a homeless guy who's found a place where there's given out bread, and he goes and tells all his homeless friends that this is the place to go get bread.
That's what we're doing.
We're the homeless person, and we're out there telling everybody there's a place where you can get food. There's a place where you can get living water. That's the welcome that Paul is talking about today. Think of a lighthouse. We have lots of lighthouses in Michigan. Has anybody gone and seen all the lighthouses in Michigan? Nobody's done that yet? There's a couple of pretty cool tours that you can do where you can go and you can see. There's so many cool lighthouses. What is a lighthouse for? It's there to give direction, right? When a ship is out and it's dark and it's nighttime and a storm kicks up and they're desperately trying to get back into port. And maybe they even have their GPS, and their GPS is kind of telling them where to go, but they can't see anything through the storm. And they're just hoping as they go that that GPS is leading them in the right direction, and then they see it. They see the light of the lighthouse, and there's a sigh of relief. I can see the lighthouse now. Now I know that I'm going in the right direction, and I can use that lighthouse as a guide to get me back to safety, to get me back into port, to get me home. That lighthouse is going to show me the way. God wants this place to be a lighthouse. He wants this place to be a place that shines a light so bright that people look and say, I can see where I need to be. I can see the way I need to go. That through our lives, I say this all the time, that as God continues to pour his love into us, that it'll pour out, it'll spill out to all the people that we come in contact with. That's what he's calling us to do, to be that lighthouse, to be that place where we can guide people in, where we can guide people to a new life, to safety, to new life in Christ. That's a powerful, powerful thing that he's calling us to do. And he tells us that we have the Holy Spirit living in us to help us and to guide us. When people encounter us here at church, in our neighborhoods, at work, at school, what do they see? What do they see? My challenge for you this week. Ask God this week, where can I extend the welcome of Christ? Where can I build a table instead of a wall? Where can I create community instead of division? Make a call. Invite a neighbor. Talk to a neighbor out in the yard. We don't do that often enough. I'm guilty of this. I got a next door neighbor. I've been living there since October and I still haven't met my next door neighbor. Make the effort to say hello. Make the effort to sit down and have coffee with someone. Smile at a stranger. It's not that hard, really. And pray that our church would be known as a place where hope and hospitality shine. A place where our welcome reflects the heart of God. That's what he's calling us to be. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your word, for this letter that Paul wrote to the church in Rome that we can continue to learn from today, that we can continue to draw wisdom from what Paul had to say 2,000 years ago to this church in a place a long ways away from here. That this message continues to resonate, that you continue to call us to welcome, that you can continue to call us to be a lighthouse shining in the storm, in the chaos of life, directing people back to you. God, help us to be that place. Help us to be that person. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and all God's people said, amen.